Good morning, good people. This morning's topic, the importance of a minyan. And I'd like to delve into what does it mean that there should be a minyan, there should be 10 men davening together. What difference does it make? And by extension, we'll have some tremendous insights into the power of prayer. So we have to explore a number of questions. We all know that there's a concept of prayer. How do we know there's something called prayer? How do we know you can communicate with God?
The Torah says so.
Good. Torah says so. How do you know the Torah is true? I'm not being difficult. There's a method to the madness here. Because at Mount Sinai, God communicated with us. And He told us. And we experienced His communication. And He told us that what Moshe informs us is going to be true. My point is, though, that He communicated with us. So, then when we communicate with Him, it's not a far-fetched concept. How do we know that having 10 men is better for the effectiveness of your prayer than praying alone? So look at quote number one. And I tried to give you both the Hebrew and the English so that you could follow the connection between the verses as we make the comparison. The first quote is, I shall be sanctified toch, in the midst of the children of Israel. The Talmud says that this verse is connected with a different verse by Korach, which states, remove yourselves from toch, the midst of, this wicked congregation. Who was Korach? Korach staged a rebellion in the desert against Moshe. As the rebellion progresses, Hashem makes a statement to Moshe and says to Moshe and Aaron, remove yourselves from the midst of this wicked congregation. Now here you have a wicked congregation, a group of people that have gathered for the purpose of negativity, of rebellion. So we have a statement by Korach, and the statement is, remove yourselves, toch, from the midst of, this wicked congregation. So we're going to do a comparison from the word toch to the word toch. And if you remember transitive property of mathematics, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. And that's similar to what we're doing here. We don't have a direct analogy from the first part to the last part, but we have to kind of take a step in the middle, and then we'll realize that everything is a smooth connection. So we started off with a statement that Hashem shall be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. We found out that to be sanctified in the midst of something requires a congregation. Okay? In that particular case, the word was wicked, but that's not important. To be called in the midst of requires a congregation. That's what's called in midst of in Torah terminology. Now let's continue to the next paragraph, which is the second part of this logic. We know that the minimum number that's called an Eda, a congregation, is 10. Because of the statement by the spies. How long for this evil Eda congregation? Again here, let's pause, let's go through the background, and then you'll see what the proof is. Who were the spies? What does it mean, the spies? Who are you referring to?
12 people went to Israel to check it out.
Very good. There were 12 Jews who went to the land of Israel to check it out and bring back a report. For whatever reason, 10 of them insisted on a bad report. Two of them, namely Yehoshua and Kalev, came back with a good report. In the midst of that, also a challenge to Moshe. The land is not good. You're taking us to a bad place. In the midst of that dialogue, Hashem makes a declaration and says, how long for this evil congregation? How many people were in the evil congregation? What was their membership? 10. Good. Because it's 12 spies, they subtracted 2 for the righteous ones, and you're left with 10. When we say this evil congregation, we're referring to 10 people. So what insight do we gain from the second paragraph? There's such a thing as evil people in the world. But to be called an evil congregation, for the word congregation to apply to you, it's got to be 10. Okay? Let's review our logic. We started off that Hashem shall be sanctified in the midst of the children of Israel. We found out that the word in the midst, or in Hebrew toch, has to be an Ada, a congregation. Otherwise, you're not in the midst of anything. And we found out that a congregation is defined in Torah terminology as how many men? 10.
I'm being bothered. Why are we referring all the time evil?
So there's a big lesson in that. The reason that they are referred to as evil is because it's referring to the spies who challenged Moshe. Moshe said in the name of Hashem that we are destined to go to the promised land, the land of Israel, and Hashem is going to help us, guide us, and make us victorious. And these 10 spies, for whatever reason, came back with a bad report. They said, oh, it's too hard, and it's not good, and it's a stupid idea. So they challenged Moshe, so they are referred to as evil, because they're leading public opinion of the Jewish people in the wrong direction. Now, there's a tremendous lesson in that, because we know that whenever you have good and bad, so not only is good going to parallel the bad, but good is going to exceed the bad. Hashem always runs the world that good is more than the bad. For example, Hashem says that if a person continues in the way of his parents, so Hashem will punish him, taking into account that his parents were also like that. If his parents were bad, and he continues in a bad way, so Hashem takes it into account that this is a rebellious family. This is not the first time I experienced embezzlement in your family. He takes it into account, but only for 4 generations. For good, if a person does good and his ancestors did good, this is not the first time that he experienced such a charitable family in this lineage. So that's until 2,000 generations. Hashem's willing to keep looking and say, oh, this runs in the family. I like this family. We see that good is greater than bad. That's how Hashem runs the world. Not just that it parallels, that if you see bad things could happen, so there could be good things that happen too, but it's even more than that. The good is much more than the bad. Take a look here what 10 bad Jews were able to do. They brought back a bad report. They convinced the people to be disappointed with Moshe's next step to enter Israel. And as a result, an entire generation had to die out in the desert, and only their children would be the ones to enter the land of Israel. That's the power of 10 bad people. Imagine the power of 10 good people. It's a tremendous insight. The power of 10 good people is unfathomable. We can only show you the power of 10 bad people. That at least you'll be able to describe. Power of 10 good people, you can't even describe that.
How come we're excluding 2 other spies who were the good spies?
Because it said the evil congregation. So the 2 people who were good are not included in this declaration. They
It seems the opposite.
They removed themselves. What's that?
It Seems like it should be the opposite. The two good guys should be.
I guess my, what pattern, you know, we well, refer yeah, to yeah, congregation yeah, yeah. of 10, it's 10 good people come together to pray.
No, the word congregation is the key and word. You could have good congregations, you could have bad congregations. But congregation is 10. Think about it in the world. A charitable organization, a non-for-profit organization, mm-hmm. forms themselves and presents themselves before IRS to be accredited. They're a congregation. They're a group of people. They're not for profit. They could be doing good things. They could be doing bad things. They're still a congregation. When they finally hit the IRS, the IRS can say, well, if you're supporting terrorism, then we're not giving you approval. But they're a congregation. They're an evil congregation. Sometimes when we see bad and good, we just kind of wash away the evil and make believe it doesn't exist. That's not accurate. Accurate is it exists. It's a congregation. It's a bad congregation. And we're forming a good congregation. But the number 10 is going to remain the same. What is a congregation? A congregation, according to the IRS, could have a president, a vice president, a board of directors, whatever it has, so the good one has it, then the bad one has it. What differentiates good from bad is not that one's a congregation and one's not. Mm-hmm. What differentiates is they're good or they're bad, and now go ahead whether they're going to get approval or they're not going to get approval.
Hashem is saying, my presence, my kedusha is going to be in the presence of 10 men, really, basically.
Yes.
So if there's not a minion, right? Hashem's not there.
Right, so we're talking about a high level of presence. We're going to discuss cases where Hashem is still there. If an individual prays, Hashem's still there and Hashem listens. Mm-hmm. If a person builds a Jewish home, Hashem dwells in that home, even though he doesn't necessarily have to have 8 mm-hmm. children or 10 children or however you're going to figure out the application. Hashem's presence can be everywhere. Mm-hmm. But this added dimension called a minyan, 10 people, I shall be sanctified amongst this level of a congregation. So that only exists if they're 10 men. Otherwise it doesn't work. And therefore we have very practical laws that result from this quote number 1. Very practical. You can't say kedusha, sanctification, if you don't have a minyan. You can't say kaddish if you don't have a minyan. You can't say Baruch Hu, you can't read from the Torah. I mean, the way we read from the Torah, if a person wanted to study from the Torah or something the way they used to, you could do that anytime. But to make the blessings before and after the way we read from the Torah publicly, that's only if they're 10 men.